Welcome to the Scared to Death podcast. I am Kara Farrell.
And my name is Katie Angle. And today we are here with Lila Rothschild with the Ernest Becker Foundation. We are so excited to have her. So Lila, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and the Ernest Becker Foundation?
Sure. Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here. It's a great new podcast. Super excited about it. I'm Lila. I studied social psychology in undergrad and some grad school. However, I switched out of the academic track and now work at a nonprofit, the Ernest Becker Foundation, after realizing that academia was not for me, at least not right now. So the Ernest Becker Foundation is a nonprofit. Our mission is to apply insights from Ernest Becker and corroborated by current research to help people understand the psychological motivations underlying human behavior and existence. And the main insight is that managing our fear of mortality is a core human motivator, which impacts thoughts, beliefs, behaviors, the way we live, how we interact with each other, just so many things. And so the foundation, the goal is just to sort of examine that under different circumstances and see how we can use that knowledge to better live together, I would say. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So you talked a little bit about doing social psychology in undergrad. How did that lead you to terror management theory and your thoughts on that?
Well, I was a psychology major. However, no one at my undergrad knew what terror management theory was. I happened to discover Ernest Becker in a book I was reading for a class. We weren't reading Becker, but Becker was quoted in the book. And I was like, ooh, that's so interesting. Who wrote that? And then I looked in the index and it was The Denial of Death by Ernest Becker. And I was immediately drawn to that book because I've always been interested in, or anxious about death, I guess, and also interested in why no one really talks about it. So the book, the title definitely drew me in and I started reading Becker. And then one of my other psychology professors saw me reading that and was like, you'd probably like terror management theory. And he gave me this research article and I was like, oh my God, there's a field of psychology all about this. And so then I started getting really into TMT, except for like that one professor, he had heard of it. So he gave me the article, but he didn't really know that much about it. But at my college, we had to do a senior thesis and I really wanted to do a terror management theory study. But it had to be empirical. And because no one really knew about terror management theory at my college, they weren't comfortable advising me. So they said, well, you can do it if you can find someone to advise you. So I emailed Jeff Greenberg, who's one of the founders of terror management theory, not expecting a response, but he did respond. And he said, sure, if you want to come out for the summer, it's really hot in Tucson, but you're welcome to come out. And so he oversaw my project and then I, you know, completed that and came back and finished up undergrad. And now everyone at my undergrad knows what terror management theory is, thanks to me. So that's how that all happened.
Wow, that's so cool. Wow.
Yeah, it was that great.
That is really awesome. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like working with one of the founders of TMT?
Well, it was... I thought that, you know, he'd have all the answers to death anxiety, but he's just as much in the dark as everyone else. So, but other than that, it was really exciting because if you have the chance to work with someone who created, you know, the theory that you're interested in, it's like going right to the source. And it was really a privilege to be able to learn about his experimental design methods and just the way he thinks about research. He's really talented with research design, experimental design. So that was really exciting to kind of get to learn from, because many of my original ideas, he quickly would show me why that would not work or why there's some confound or something. And it was just like very eye-opening. He was also my advisor when I started the PhD program at the University of Arizona. And then, like I said, I ended up deciding I didn't want to do academia. But so I've worked with him for a couple different years, and overall, it was a great experience.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. So why do you believe that the knowledge of TMT would be important for people to understand? And do you think there are like implications for having this theory become more widely known among the general public?
Yeah, I believe that it's so important, not just like TMT, but the idea of how knowledge of death impacts us and society's attempts to kind of, at least Western society, to constantly deny mortality are actually really detrimental to society as a whole. I would say, let's see. So basically, the more we understand about ourselves, the more agency and choice we have. And so if people are more educated on human responses, then I think it's not necessarily that it might change the response, because a lot of those are automatic, but we might have more control to like keep it in check, for example. And yeah, I feel like, I don't know if this is one of your other questions, but most of the implications that I think are the most important are with regards to like prejudice and discrimination. And I think understanding TMT directly relates to that. So I can talk a bit about that if you want, but that's my main, that'd be why I say it's important for the public to understand.
Yeah, we actually did have a question for you about that, if you want to go into that a little bit more. We saw on the website that there was a webinar recently.
Yes. Yeah, we have. We have done a couple different features and a webinar recently on discrimination and racism. TMT has actually looked quite a lot at prejudice and discrimination pretty much from the start. Actually, the major bulk of the studies being done were looking at this originally. And that's actually what drew me to the field, because I was always interested in like out-group violence and prejudice and things like that, and trying to understand it. And there's a lot of social psychology programs that are dedicated labs to prejudice or stereotyping or whatever it is, but I had never seen it looked at through the lens of death anxiety. And so I just thought, once I learned about that, that was so important and it made so much sense. And it was like, it really felt like it got to the bottom of the motivation. And so many of these early studies were looking at how after death reminders, people were more likely to derogate those who were from a different worldview from their own, like such as politics or religion or something like that. There's a term in the literature, which I'm sure you guys are familiar with, called worldview defense, which is essentially how much you defend your own worldview against threats. And so the research was looking at this a lot. And when you look at prejudice deeply, what it really is like fear of the other, right? And like, why do we fear those who are different from us? One reason is because they might hurt us, but another is because, this is probably the main one in like modern times, is that they challenge our view of the nature of reality, that our own culture or society or a group of people on the internet, whatever it might be, they challenge the view that we've agreed upon. And reality really depends on the social consensus. So when you have people questioning your views, it triggers this very specific type of anxiety or anger, because they're essentially saying, and even without saying it, but even just by existing, they're saying that your view of reality might not be correct because they have this other view. So it's like, well, one of them has to be right. And what if mine's not right? And what would that mean? And that would mean everything you thought you knew or believed might be wrong. And then where does that leave you? And it opens up this big can of existential anxiety, or in other words, like, what's the meaning of all this, which ultimately is directly tied to death anxiety, because we wouldn't really ask what's the meaning of this if it didn't end. Like, we wouldn't have that same question of what's the meaning of life, because the whole reason people say that is they're like, well, what does it matter? We're all just going to die. So like, we're always searching for these systems to help quell death anxiety. And that's really what TMT has shown time and time again. Like, when you challenge people's beliefs, their death anxiety increases, and then vice versa. When you remind people of death, their adherence to their beliefs increases, and also their antagonism towards those with differing beliefs increases as well. And so basically we use these systems of value to gain feelings of like greater importance, and that can mitigate some of the anxiety or the terror that we might otherwise feel when thinking about the fact that we won't be here one day. So that's really one of my favorite areas of TMT, because it really helped me understand why differences of opinion become like the reason behind these life and death battles. And it's because it's not just a difference of opinion to us. It's like, it feels like a threat to our existence. And I think that's why the human species is the only species that will fight wars and kill each other over ideology. The religious crusades, for example, killing each other over really differences of beliefs, because the alternative ambiguity and death anxiety is just too intolerable to us. So I think if you dig down deep enough, what fear really is fear of obliteration. And so basically any fear is a fear of death, even if it's indirect, and prejudice is no different than that. So it's been really cool to see that supported in the research.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for delving into that a little bit more. And kind of going off that, how do you think COVID-19 has shaped people's death anxiety and how mortality salience looks like and can be handled by our society?
Well, I sadly don't think COVID-19 has really made a difference. I think it slightly might have increased conversation around mortality temporarily. But to be honest, I don't think, I think people just go back to their normal baseline as soon as things kind of get stable again. And when they're not stable, I think all that happened is that we saw people became more extreme in their pre-existing views, which is exactly what TMT predicts. So like in America, land of every man for himself, people basically either became like more greedy and hostile and hoarding resources and becoming xenophobic. Of course, the political discourse didn't help with that either. But then there was that side of it. And then there was like the other people who might have already had a predisposition towards more tolerant worldviews. Those were the people who became focused on, you know, how they could help their neighbors and their communities, and such as following science-based health guidance behaviors, for one example. But I think it's just whatever your worldview was, when there are large major events like a pandemic or war or something like that, you're just going to see people go more towards whatever their views are. So I don't think it actually changed anything. I think it just amplified what was already there.
Yeah, thank you. We've talked a lot about like worldviews and how much that plays into the terror management theory. So how do you feel as if knowing as much as you do about the terror management theory, knowing about death anxiety, how do you feel like that has really impacted how you view your world and your day-to-day life?
It affects everything. I mean, I don't think it's really changed how I view the world as much as it like affirmed a lot of the things that I already observed about the world and helped me understand them. Like I always would observe people being really defensive over their beliefs and observe different forms of prejudice and groupthink and all these things. And it always bothered me so much. But then once I understood that so much of it is coming from death anxiety, I would say it gave me a lot more empathy, because when you realize that people are acting out of fear, it becomes a lot easier to, well, it doesn't really make the terrible things okay, but it helps to contextualize them, because people will do really terrible things to each other when they operate out of fear. But you have to remember, like, fear-based behavior is not necessarily how people are all the time. So just understanding that when people are acting out of fear, maybe we can like, you know, help to educate and maybe reduce the fear so that there are less of those behaviors. Of course, we can't like solve the problem of death. We can't at the moment anyway. I know scientists are trying, but even just talking about it more, making it less taboo, being honest with ourselves about our own behaviors and just examining it, that can go a long way. Like the more you talk about something, the less scary it becomes. That being said, I don't have like, I do this work all the time, and it doesn't mean that I don't have any death anxiety. It's probably the opposite. I think that's why I do the work, is because I've always been very hyper aware of death. But I like to think that I'm also very aware when I'm doing something out of death anxiety versus another reason. I think that, I'm more aware of when I might be being defensive. As I mentioned before, I think just more, the more we know about this, the more agency we have, the more control we have, the more we can sort of keep these tendencies in check. And it, like, when you look at history, like these things like the Holocaust from World War II, the various other genocides, wars, bombings, like slave trades, the list really goes on. And there's like the darkest capacities that humans have towards each other are often tied with this desire to dominate and control a different group. And I'm not necessarily saying that if everyone knew about TMT, these events could have been prevented. However, I mean, I do think individual behavior adds up to group behavior. So I think the more educated we are about human behavior and our patterns of responses and can recognize things, the more we might be able to nip things in the bud, especially on an individual level. Because if we, maybe if we accepted that our own mortality a bit more, we would have less of a need to have total domination and control, and we could all coexist a little bit more, understanding that, you know, we're all sharing this human experience. And I also think that on a political level, it's helped me because politicians exploit fear of death literally all the time. And they might not know about TMT, or they probably didn't study it, but they're literally using it. And being able to recognize that for me has been really helpful. And I feel like the more people understand how politicians might exploit fear of the other and fear of death to try to advance their own political agenda, I think that that would help all of us be more informed and maybe be less susceptible to that kind of manipulation. So the more people know about it, the more we can recognize it, basically.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed how you talked about TMT kind of breeding like an empathy, knowing why people are acting out and having these prejudices and biases.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if you have kind of a point of view about how people have like death anxiety cross-culturally, so like an individualistic society versus like a collectivistic, who would you think that they have more empathy, more or less empathy, depending on which society you are in?
Well, research in various different cultures and countries has shown that people everywhere have the universal response of, you know, being more aware of death does tend to be, regardless of what culture you're in, that you will become more adamantly in defense of your own belief system. So, however, if your belief system and your culture and the dominant worldview is, you know, collectivist and to have community values and all those things, then perhaps higher death anxiety in that kind of a culture would result in more of a commitment to your community. Whereas if you have a very highly individualistic culture, then, you know, a high amount of death anxiety might just lead to more individualism. So I think it's just based on, it's not like the death anxiety itself, because that's universal, but it's what the dominant value is for each person, and the culture that they're living in will be a better predictor of how someone might respond. Of course, there are individual differences as well, but I think in terms of larger trends, the major differences with how people respond relate to the values that that culture cultivates.
Yeah, awesome. I am just really intrigued by everything that you've been telling us. So I thank you so much for just talking about all of it, because it's stuff that I don't think I've even really thought about in relation to the terror management theory. But if there's just one thing that you could tell us or anyone else about the terror management theory and how it relates to our prejudices and our worldviews, which I'm sure you have a lot, but if you could just pick one, what would it be?
One thing to tell people about terror management theory?
Yeah, just one, like your favorite one, the most impactful one.
Gosh. I would say I would maybe tell people, I think the most, at least for me, I think I would say if you find yourself having a really strong reaction, a really negative defensive reaction to someone or something or some idea, to just pause and ask yourself why you might be having that reaction and truly try to find out why. And I feel like if you dig deep enough, often you'll find that it's not the reason you thought. And a lot of it does have to do with death anxiety or meaning in life or something like that. Like one example that I think of, or a couple, is like someone who might really have a negative reaction to gay people or trans people or something like that. However, it's not actually impacting their own life in any way. Like they can do everything they want to do, you know, nothing about those people existing is negatively impacting their life, but they are like having a visceral negative reaction. I would say that's the time to pause and ask yourself, why am I having that reaction? And try to see if it's because it's threatening the way you view the world. And if it is, it's tapping into your death anxiety, I would say to ask, is that, do you agree with your own reaction, basically? Because there are times when we react really negatively to something where it's warranted. Like if someone is having, let's say someone's being racist and you're seeing it in front of your eyes and you have a super negative reaction and you want to go intervene, that's probably correct, you know, that's good. But if you have a negative reaction to someone who really is not doing any harm to anyone, then that's probably when it's time to reexamine that view and be like, is this the reaction I want to have? Like, does this align with who I am as a person? And does this make sense? Because I think a lot of times what happens, and why I love TMT and the main thing I would give people, is so much of this is automatic and it's not being examined. So I think for me, just one thing, if I could tell, is like, whenever you're having an extreme reaction, just like pause and try to be a little bit metaphysical with it, and or like metaconscious, and examine it for yourself from a bird's eye view before taking any action. And then, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And such good advice, I think a lot of people should take, and something that the general public would definitely benefit from knowing, that those reactions can be, you know, the stronger they are, the more death anxious they might be.
Right.
But I was wondering, with TMT, is there a specific area of research that you think that they should look more, like researchers should look more into in the future, or one that you're just really curious about?
Let's see. Honestly, there is so much TMT research happening right now, that I just feel like it's amazing. Like every avenue that you can think of, like environment, consumer behavior, feminism, like there's just so many different researchers all over the world looking in on this. Personally, I think the most urgent one right now is the environment. And I think that our resistance to radical change with regards to sustainability is directly tied to death anxiety. Because obviously talking about climate and future taps into people's death anxiety, and often that results in us just not wanting to do anything at all, rather than deal with it. So I would love to see that continue, but it is being done.
Yeah. Thank you again so much for being willing to talk to us. We just wanted to end with kind of like a fun little random question.
Yeah.
But if you could be any cereal, what cereal would you be?
A cereal? Let's see. I would probably be Lucky Charms.
The good ones. The good ones.
It's a mix of like practical and fun. Because it has some boring like regular cereal, but then it has these like marshmallows mixed in. I feel like that's like who I am as a person.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you again so much for being willing to talk to us, and you genuinely have given me such an amazing insight into something about terror management theory that I had never thought about before. So I know I really appreciated it, but I wanted to say thank you again, just for being willing to talk to us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great. I'm glad that it was a good conversation.